What is your killer strategy? The one that gives your business the ultimate bulletproof competitive advantage. Welcome to Your Advantage Play with your host, Joel Block. Former professional blackjack player and card counter who left Las Vegas and spent his life in that giant casino on Wall Street in the hedge fund and venture capital businesses. And now, here's your host, Joel Block.
How are we going to increase our market cap? Is our strategy still relevant and appropriate for our market? Is our brand on point and what we want to tell the world about our offerings? To discuss these questions, we have public company CEO, Bill Irby. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Joel. Great to join you today.
So, listen, being the CEO of a public company is a pretty big responsibility. You got a lot of moving balls, I imagine. There's a lot of balls in the air all the time. Which of the things you're working on are the most important for you? I mean, what's the thing that really kind of consumes your attention maybe more than anything?
Yeah, the attention right now is the stability of the company. I mean, we're right in the middle of a transition, right? So we have gone from a startup type company into a growth company, just hitting that transition earlier this year. So right now is how do we realize everything we can get from this company in terms of driving market cap? And like you mentioned, things that I'm losing sleep about is how do we rebrand the company? What's our best strategy going forward? We made a big shift into the defense market just starting a few months ago after a couple year long development period for our new EB Vision, our new drone, which is really tailored for security and defense surveillance purposes. So we started to make headway in the market with that. So how do we turn that into, like you talk about the advantage play, how do we turn that into a big success in the market? So our strategy is right in the middle of a shift.
Before you kind of go into a bunch of stuff, let's talk about the company because it's a fascinating company in a fascinating industry. I would think most people would be pretty interested in this sort of thing. Your company makes drones, right?
Yep.
And now these are not the toy drones. These are like commercial and industrial. Would you tell us about that?
Absolutely. We are a drone designer and manufacturer, as well as a camera designer and manufacturer. Every one of our products is really about situational awareness, surveillance, or analysis in some form or another. But our drones, here's what differentiates us, right? Everybody's familiar with the term drone. Typically, what they see in their mind is the product that's out there with four rotor blades that can take off vertically and fly for about 45 minutes. Our system is differentiated in the following way. It is a fixed wing aircraft with about a wingspan of about four feet. And that system, it only weighs 3.5 pounds. You can unpack it and launch it within about 3 minutes from when you stop at whatever site you're going to stop at. And we've got 90 minutes of flight time. So we've got a significant advantage over those little quadcopters that are out there in the market.
So let me understand, though, because we hear about all different kind of drones, including these military ones that shoot rockets.
Yep.
I mean, they without people in them. I mean, it's an extraordinary new industry. If you've got these fixed wing aircraft, can they take off stationary, like lift up somehow? Or do they have to have like a runway to take off? Or how does it work?
No runway needed. It's basically hand launched. You hold it in two hands. You shake it to get the propeller moving, and you just release it in a forward direction, and it'll do its mission. It very quickly climbs about 200 feet. It'll sit there in circle until you give it instructions on either a pre-planned route or a manually controlled route that's got a purpose, right, to go look at an area, some area of interest.
How long did it take an operator to learn how to fly one of these things? Or are these autonomous?
They do have a level of autonomy in them. Operators do have to be trained, right? In order to fly, particularly in the U.S., there's a Part 107 requirement from the FAA. You do have to go through a training course to become a certified operator. But they're not that hard to learn, right? You could put somebody with a certified operator and in a few minutes would be able to take over control just using the basics, seriously. So they're very easy to learn.
Yeah. So what kind of applications, are you guys building these for? I mean, first let me understand this. Did different industries require different kinds of equipment, or is it one piece of equipment that's adapted to different things? I mean, just help us understand some basics.
That's a very big question, and it depends on the type of industry that you're talking about. But from a basic perspective, we do everything from photogrammetry. And what I mean by that is, you know, we'll do flights, we'll take fixed pictures like you would with a camera. We'll come back and do very detailed measurements with all that information in order to create maps, right, of some sort. That's one type of mission. Another type of mission is what we're doing now with the EB Vision, which is full motion video surveillance of any particular point of interest, whether it be a fixed facility or, let's say, somebody out and running down the road that you're trying to track, or a car that you want to search. And we do that full motion video both in what's called RGB, right, regular color, and we do thermal imaging as well. So we can do this during the day or at night and get the type of results we need. The other thing that the system's able to do is we can produce a very detailed 3D model of any particular area of interest from the flight. So you come back, it takes a couple of minutes of processing, but basically we turn around and say, okay, that building that we were looking at prior, here's a picture of it in 3D, and you can rotate it if you want to. It's 10 feet tall, 100 feet wide, et cetera. The very detailed information post-flight if you need to get that.
So who uses that kind of information?
That would be primarily for security and defense type organizations who are very concerned with, you know, let's say in a police environment, you know, there's a hostage taker in some building. What's the best area of entry into that building? How do we proceed from where we are now into the site? What's our best approach, et cetera? Or in a tactical environment, a military commander.
So if there was an emergency situation, you deploy one of these pieces of equipment, it flies around, photographs the thing, and then the people on the ground, the tactical units, could make their plan based on what they learned from this equipment.
Absolutely. And at the same time, you could have one flying that's doing real-time video, say, watching the situation in real time.
Yeah. Now, this thing, because it's fixed wing, it has to keep moving all the time. It doesn't have the ability to stop like some of the other kind of drones that we've seen.
That's very true. Yeah, we are not a vertical takeoff and landing drone. You know, maybe we'll go there in the future with our product pipeline, but right now we are simply a forward flight machine.
Okay, so it keeps moving. And it just flies. I've seen so many interesting applications from monitoring sharks in the ocean on the coasts, you know, to keep people safe. Just last night, I heard on TV that there were some kids lost in a field, and a drone was able to zoom over this field and found these kids in like 15 minutes. And a fire chief said it would have taken hours for dozens of people to comb this field in a grid and do the whole thing. So this is really cool. I just love what you guys are doing. What other applications are you guys looking at?
So another one of big applications, and where the company started, was within the agricultural space, right? Trying to do a survey of farms and crop areas and do some analysis on where do I need more water, where do I need new fertilizer. And that brings us to the other part of our business, which specializes in cameras, that started for agriculture analysis. But if you think about it, these systems are used not only for agriculture analysis, they're used for infrastructure inspection. You know, consider flying around a cooling tower on a major power plant. You know, is there a crack in that cooling tower? When do we have to do maintenance, et cetera? Or I can monitor power lines, fly along power lines and see if there's any failures, you know, looming in the horizon that need to be, you know, maintenance needs to be done to fix those. We've already talked about the security and defense environment, but there's so many applications. It's a tool. Anything that you might need to do manually with an eyeball, you can do with this system remotely.
How does artificial intelligence factor in here? Is it going to be like, how's it going to enhance what you guys are doing? Or what are you guys thinking about this already?
I'm glad that you asked that question. We do have a level of artificial intelligence or autonomy in our system today. For example, you know, if you want to track a particular moving target, you tell the system, okay, focus on that, and the aircraft will actually fly its own route. it can determine where it needs to fly to get the best look at that particular item and stay on target.
So I'll bet you could even say, okay, you see that car right there? Follow that car.
Exactly.
And right, you could press somehow, you could probably connect onto it and it would, yep. it just wouldn't, no matter what, it would just follow the car, huh?
Exactly right.
Wow. Okay. So how long have you been with this company?
I'm a short timer. I just joined the company 4 months ago as a CEO. However, I've been in the drone business for over 20 years. Long time in the unmanned systems business, working with multiple companies, looking at systems from different ways. So it's great for me to get back into it. Absolutely.
So did this company come looking for you? I mean, how'd that happen?
The company came looking for somebody and we found each other.
Okay. All right, good. And so what are you thinking? I mean, you look at this thing from the outside, they're looking for somebody to bring some new ideas. What's the first thing you're thinking? I mean, you're looking at this thing. I mean, did you see something different than they saw?
Absolutely. The first time I saw it fly, I saw the tremendous, capability that's here. When I was working in an area that had a lot of business with tactical users in the past, we used to do the same thing with much larger, much more expensive systems. So when I first saw this, I saw the value in the system that the users get and the applicability, in the market. So the big thing for me was I see a ton of capability and potential in this company that's being undertapped right now. So there's a very big opportunity in the future for the company to grow. I'm excited about it. I can help make that happen.
And what industries came to mind for you?
What industry? I'm sorry. Can you clarify the question?
What industries? When you were thinking about some new ideas, were there any new industries or different industries other than what this company was already doing? Did you have an idea about taking it in a different direction? I mean, what were you thinking?
I see what you're saying. Yes. So we have several ideas strategically. We're in a process right now of fleshing out our strategic plan. I mentioned that we already started to make the shift into the defense market. So right now, what we're looking is how do we broaden out our product portfolio? What buy might we need to make? Do we sell a piece of the business? We're working through all these strategic questions right now. So I don't have a 100% answer for you. Hopefully, we'll have that in just the next 3 months or so.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's excellent. So when the company's thinking about where it's going, like it's going into defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has to be a long sales cycle. I mean, that doesn't seem like the kind of, you'd probably want to layer that on top of some other stuff. I mean, some long-term stuff, some short cycle stuff. I mean, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, it compared to where we have been, it is a longer sales cycle. I can say that we've got people on our team that understand that sales cycle very well. And that also couples up with, while we're shifting our strategy, we're not exiting our other customers. It's very important for us to continue to serve the civil business, the agriculture business. So we're continuing to put focus on those, but we're enhancing our focus on the defense space because it's something that we as a company have undertapped in the past.
Yeah. So so agriculture had been a big one for a long time. That's kind of where you guys came from. That's where your original name even came from. Mm-hmm. That's so, right. Are you going to continue to serve agriculture or is that something that's, flaming out?
No doubt. We will continue to serve agriculture, expand more in the civil space as well. But I think the big bet right now is in the defense and surveillance market.
What about oil and gas? I mean, does this thing have the ability to see under the ground in any way? Is there any technology where it can maybe... it can do some of the old wildcatting stuff by taking pictures of the ground. I'm just kind of brainstorming.
Sure. On the drone side, we don't have any specific technology in our EB vision or our EB platforms that can look underground. On the camera side of the business, where we focus on the multispectral images, we are able to determine certain things through layers of vegetation. So there is an application in those that applies. Yes.
That would be just amazing. I mean, it just, kind of wanders here.
Well, I do need to comment that there is still a big mission in and around oil and gas, particularly pipelines, above ground pipelines and other infrastructure. We can help those companies determine, you know, find and determine the source of leaks so they can come in and respond very quickly. For buried pipelines, no, not so much, but anything that's above ground, certainly.
You know, I could imagine that if you just had one of those autonomous ones fly back and forth on a line, you know, okay, it's 100 miles long and it just goes back and forth all day long looking for problems. I mean, that would probably be worthwhile, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example from my past. I won't name companies or whatever, but we were flying systems exactly for that purpose. In one day, we helped a customer find a leak and saved them $8 million.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, if this thing, especially as the artificial intelligence, as the camera equipment, the quality of the resolution, all the different things, whatever you're all working on, all the mm-hmm. complicated things. I mean, it really, and it just seems like for companies that are in this business, they have to make some decision about this because their competitors are making decisions about this.
Yeah. It's a fast moving market, you know, technologically and also company wise. You know, a lot of companies have put a lot of money into the drone space over the last, let's say, 10 years. Once the system started to be used in more commercial applications in the open market, a lot of companies got interested when they saw the market forecasts, and you had a lot of new entrants come in, right? A lot of people spend money in their company. Well, what happened is those new startups, as they put money in, starting to see that it takes time. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes money to keep going, and you don't get an instant hit. And a lot of those folks have also left the market. So you still have a large number of competitors out there. So, you know, we pay attention to our competitors every day and we think, where can we beat those guys? But in a proactive sort of way, not a reacting to what they do, but finding what, you know, what is our differentiating spot, both with the technology and how we approach the market. And we do, we've discriminated ourselves. We approach things differently. And I believe that will pay off.
Can you tell us what it is? Like what is the differentiation? What is the specialty?
Yeah. So I mentioned in the product, the differentiation right now is in the flight time in particular, and the bang for the buck that a buyer or a user gets out of our system. But there's more than that, right? There's the marketing strategy. We're sticking to what we know is core, and we're putting a new, a new branding, like I said, a new branding exercise in play, because we're going to announce some different things about ourselves just in the next few months.
Okay. So what, tell us about your sales process. I mean, how many, you got a bunch of sales guys? Are they independent guys? Are they inside guys? What do you have?
I have a relatively small number of inside sales guys. We work through value-added resellers for the most part. Some of those value-added are true value-added, like integrating additional capabilities with our system. And some of them are pure resellers for the most part. So we've got a number of those. I don't even know how many to tell you because it's multiple dozens of them all over the world. And they're helping us to sell in Europe. They're helping us in South America. We've started to make progress in Asia. So that, you know, we're picking up steam.
Fantastic. Do these devices connect to satellites in any way? Or is that something totally different?
Just from a navigation perspective, absolutely. You know, they use GNSS or GPS navigation like many other systems do. But from a communication standpoint, we don't communicate over satellite, no.
So what happens is everything is retained in the drone and then you download that material to a computer when it comes is it real time?
No, it's real time. We download from the flights in real time, particularly for surveillance type missions. So you can both collect and record the data as well as see it in real time. And that's either to a fixed ground station or to a handheld controller. Many times you do both simultaneously, but the systems have a 12-kilometer range, so you can fly that far away and still maintain direct connection. So we typically do not use satellite communication on any flight. It's a fairly small platform, so the number of devices that we can fit on it are, you know, somewhat limited, but there's goodness behind that because, again, that's how we achieve our flight time.
Yeah. So you can, the operator or whoever it is can see what the drone is seeing live and on the spot.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So what are some of the difficulties that you guys are dealing with? Like, little companies have a million different kinds of difficulties. I mean, you know, you're kind of getting over that. You said you're just transitioning from small to medium or startup to growth or whatever you call
growth
it.
Growth mode, right.
What are some of the stumbling blocks?
So the biggest challenge right now is capital. And I'll give you an example, right? We won a very big program, big for us, the largest award or contract in a company's history just about 2 or 3 months ago. With the French Army. We got a $3.5 million single order from the French Army. And just behind that, it was just announced in the last couple of days, was an order from the United Arab Emirates for another $1.5 million. Now, those are capital intensive. And what I mean, right? We do not get 100% of our pay up front. We do have an upfront payment at some level, but we've got to buy all the equipment, all the hardware to build those systems before we can turn and deliver and therefore get revenue and collect the cash. So it's a typical challenge that any growth company is going to have. How do we fund our operations while we're getting to the delivery and sales point that we need to? We want to turn this company into a cash generating operation, self-sustaining, but we're not there yet. So yeah. Raising capital has been the hard part.
Well, listen, I mean, there's lots of different kinds of capital. And do Correct. You guys use specialty capital like purchase order financing to... you have those kind of lines in place?
We do have some of those lines in place. We've got a number of different vehicles that are used. We're a little bit limited on how much we can go out based on current agreements. So we're relying on some of our major investors as the primary source of our capital, but we do have a couple of other things going on.
Yeah. Okay. So what other difficulties? So your name... It's agriculture in it, but you're not only agriculture. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, we've initiated a planning phase for a rebranding exercise. So the next couple of months, we're going to come out with some new rebranding. So, you know, how does a company approach the market? What do we call ourselves? All the marketing material, how do we want to get that across? So that's going to, you're going to see some new things in the next couple of months.
Yeah. So how are you guys going about that? Did you engage a firm to help you? Is there like an agency that's working on that, or what are you doing?
Yeah, we do have an outside firm that's assisting us with that. Not to name them, but definitely they're coaching us also through strategy development for the next phase.
Yeah. Okay. And how are you growing? How are you managing the growth of like your infrastructure, the people on the inside? You know, I mean that's kind of the bigger problem. It kind of spirals out of control sometimes. I mean, if a lot of your salespeople are outside, those are not cost resources. Those are almost commission-based resources, I guess, right?
Yes. Well, here's the good news, right? I don't need to grow the infrastructure to double or possibly even triple our revenue. We've got infrastructure in place. I don't even need to add a bunch of headcount in order to, like I said, double or triple our production. Maybe with a few headcount adds, we can multiply the value of this company 3 times. No doubt.
Where do you manufacture? Are these things manufactured by you, or do you subcontract that out, or how does that part work?
We do our own manufacturing. So our drones are manufactured in Switzerland as our primary location right now. We're looking at how do we expand and create a U.S. Manufacturing facility. But there's a good reason to be in Switzerland. I mean, number one, the initial designs were done there. But if you think about Swiss precision of engineering and design, right, the Switzerland's got an excellent reputation. I think of the Swiss watch, right? Got an excellent reputation for precision and excellence in engineering. Our engineering team there is phenomenal. They do great work on architecting systems, on design, and getting the systems ready for production. What we'd like to do is multiply our production not only in Europe, but then setting up a U.S. Manufacturing location. Still relying on a Swiss design. No reason to change that.
Yeah. So how do you triple your production and not increase your headcount? I mean, if you have people that are actually building these, how do you do that?
Pretty simple. I can double the production today with the headcount that I've got simply by making sure we can fund and get enough parts in time. And by adding some shifts, we can double it or triple it, even beyond. So it's all a matter of adding a couple people and increasing our shift work.
And let's finish up with your market cap. It was one of the things we opened with, and we, you know, market cap is a really complicated thing for little companies. It's hard to get some momentum. You could have the greatest company, but if nobody in the world knows about it, if it's a well-kept secret, and if you guys are probably a well-kept secret, not on purpose, by the way, but,
right.
But that's how it goes. How do you fix that? What are your plans for fixing that?
So our IR and PR plans, public relations expansion is already underway. It's starting to kick off. So there's a lot more news that we've been publishing about the company and putting that news out there in a push format so that it gets to all the investors it needs to get to. So a lot of it's really about marketing and public relations at this point. We've got enough news coming behind the actual operations that we can show that we're increasing the sales in the company and getting our products out there, and they're being adapted. So a lot of it's about messaging right now. But to your point, you know, the market cap is also, it's all an investor attitude, you know, stock buyer attitude about the company. So having the right message, making sure that the name gets out there so that people are attracted to the stock. Once the stock volume goes up, then the market cap goes up.
Yeah, listen, as the float, the ownership, and the whole thing, I mean, it all kind of goes hand in hand, all those things. So one of the things I always like to ask, you know, the name of the show is Your Advantage Play. So you have these PR people that are working hard on this. What's their advantage play? Are they going to do the same thing they do for everybody else, or are they doing something different that's kind of around the corner and behind the back? Because I'm always concerned, how's a little company like you going to outfox, outrun, outgun, you know, the competitors? What are you going to do different that sets you apart?
One of the big things is in the digital marketing approach. You know, we know how to touch certain types of investors through digital marketing that is not your typical marketing plan or your typical marketing exercise. So once we get all the news behind the company, is how do you touch new investors, right? How do you get out there? So we've got some folks working with us that know how to reach those folks. Yeah. And so we think the hunger is going to go up.
And how do you identify that those investors are people who like this type of technology? Because just because a guy's got money in his bank account has nothing to do with him giving it to you. So how do you match what you're doing with their interests? Do you have any way to figure that out?
Well, typically you're going to want to focus on investors who are more in the tech world, right? Tech plays more so than a commodity type market. So I'm going to have to rely on our folks who are reaching those people to tell you how to do that. I'm not the expert on that, but we're relying on them.
Gotcha. Well, hey, listen, this has been a really interesting discussion. And, you know, we talk about Your Advantage Play, your killer strategy. You know, you've revealed quite a lot of things about your company, and I appreciate that greatly. And I would say that makes you an advantage player. I mean, that makes you somebody who's out there doing what you're doing. And we wish you the very best. And I hope you'll stay a friend of the show and, you know, and continue to report back on your progress, because this is an interesting company that has an interesting future.
Thank you, Joel. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, listen, thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Your Advantage Play with your host, Joel Block. To learn more about how to work with Joel and cultivate your own high-limit advantage plays, visit theadvantageplayer.com. Subscribe to Your Advantage Play wherever you get your podcasts.
How about a shout-out and a huge thanks to our podcast show producer, David Wolf, and the team at Autovita Studios. Profit from the Inside wouldn't be possible without these wonderful professionals. To learn more or to find out how you can launch and produce your own podcast show, reach out to www.audivita.com. That's audivita.com.